So we bow our heads for the offering. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and thankful for your many blessings and thankful for this offering and pray you'll use it where it's needed to be used most. We pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Yeah. We'd like to welcome each other to the house of the Lord this morning.
Graceful line.
These tall people are going to cause all the problem. We want to welcome you. And this week coming up, as we come closer to Christmas, I think that each one of us have been blessed many times, and I hope that as we get closer to the Christ's birthday, that we might truly remember all those things that he's helped us in our life, and the many blessings he has for us if we'll only turn to him. I know that all of us can look back in our lives and see the mistakes we've all made, and yet we know that he's always reaching out. So I think we need to be so grateful to have a loving Heavenly Father to watch over us and help us through our time of trials. For a scripture reading, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor either have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So we'll turn our hymns to 369. Shall we stand for this?
Oh, Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you have given us. We pray this day that your Spirit will be with us in abundance, that you will be with this congregation, and that every heart will be filled. We pray that you'll be with Richard, that you will give him the words to say, and that we can all grow closer to you. And I pray that you will continue to be with us throughout this day and throughout this year. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think our speaker needs any introduction, but I'll introduce me, Brother Richard Adams.
When I hit him with a hammer when we're working on something, sometimes he wants to call me something else, but every now and then we work kind of close together and on the combine or tractor. Sometimes I've hit him before, and he's hit me too, so with a hammer. So my scripture reading comes from Mosiah 6:6. And the church met often, together often, to fast and to pray, and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they met often to partake of the bread and wine, remembrance of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you. If all the younger kids would join us. JJ?
JJ and Kaylee come up front, please. I had something planned. I didn't know they was going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways because you got to listen to me. You know, it's Dan's fault. You come up here?
How about I hold you on that? Yeah.
I get to spend some time with you, both these girls. What are we going to celebrate later on this week when we say Christmas? What are we going to celebrate?
Jesus' birthday.
Say it again right there, microphone.
Jesus' birthday.
That's right. And I want you to remind everybody you come in contact with that that's what the true meaning of Christmas is. Will you do that? And you enjoy your families? Okay.
Thank you, girls, for helping.
This last Monday, I started out the week. Panic and I had a few things planned, but I kind of lost everything Monday night when I got sick with the flu and had to pull my semi over and stay alongside the road for a while and got home and pretty much did that all the way Monday night and Tuesday. And I've never had it affect my mind like it did. Of course, my good friend, which I call the First Lady, would say, you got to have a mind, Peggy, before you lose her. That's what she would say. And I just want to take a moment to thank our choir director, Peggy Shearer, for a wonderful job, because she does a lot of organizing behind the scenes on the music and has really felt in this congregation because it's among all of our people and it's so meaningful. I never did care for much music until it's that type of music. And I love music, but I never did care for the dramatic of music where it wants to mow over everybody. This is very in the spirit and you can feel the Lord's presence when this music we have in this whole branch. But anyway, as I was, I don't usually stay home. Usually I go to work. Tuesday I didn't go to work. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't barely lift my head. And as I realized that everything was gone, it just was washed clean, I guess the words I got later. Well, I guess I had to get to that point. So you're supposed to look at blessings in everything you do. And I don't know if I can consider the flu being a blessing, but it was a little bit of a blessing because it wiped everything out of my head. And I was able to start over. And Wednesday I went to work. Maybe 75%. I wasn't there all the way. But what I've been doing lately is I spend about 12 minutes on the road with my semi. 20 minutes getting loaded, 12 minutes on the road, and then I set for 2.5 to 3 hours to sometimes 4 hours, pulling up one truck link at a time. So it gives you a lot of time to pray and to contemplate what you're doing. Well, it didn't come through till that night, about 2:30 in the morning. I was waking and just filled with the Lord's Spirit. And then I started to thank Him. I didn't really thank Him for the flu, but I started to see the reasons why maybe I needed the flu, to wash my noggin a little bit and get some things out of it that I didn't need to think about that at that time, to go forth. But I thought it would be very convenient, and I started to wake up Allison and see what she thought. They just call everybody, get everybody down here at 3 o'clock, and I could just, whoosh, it'd be done. Because I was full, and Thursday in the truck, you should have heard the sermon in that truck. I'll never do as good as that sermon that was in the truck. But anyway, Jesus was born on this earth. And He strived while He was here. People wasn't very nice to Him. And then they took Him to the cross. And He died for our sins. And as I thought about that this week, complaining to myself, why do I need to go forth? If He can go through that, I guess I can go behind this pulpit for 30 minutes. And it made everything come real for me. I gotta have everything go through a process with everything, or it doesn't process. And then it come real to me that I could do this. I want to go back a little bit before I read this other thing I've got. Well, I'll read it now because it kind of see what I'm going to bring forth today. This comes out of the membership manual. The church is commanded ideas and faith, and persons who hold together by the ties that bind. In the members' strength, fellowship, sense of togetherness, as children, as common father. It is fellowship, persons living together in relation of one of multi-love. Imagine and service in brotherhood in small groups first, and then a Zionic center. When we started this branch, and I was a part of the branch, but I was still going to Atherton. Immediately, I felt a great spirit here. And the spirit, and what I want to talk about, is you all. Because you all are what bring the spirit here. And ask for the spirit to come here. And join together and have these magnificent services together. I kind of look at it as baby steps to a Zionic community. Because when one is asked to bring meals in, to do anything in this branch, people step forth. And I've never seen that in my life, in going to church. I have never seen go to people's homes and they open the door. They're not worried about if they ain't got all the magazines picked up or the papers thrown on the floor and clothes here and there. They open the door. And I have never experienced that as a priesthood member or a member in this branch in going to church. And it overwhelms me. And so when I begin to start ponder about this, that this is what we need to think about, this is what we need to build upon, and this is what we need to strive to go forward and do better the next year. You know, we're going to build a building. And it's going to take a lot of commitment and a lot of help to get that accomplished. And I feel like it's going to be a wonderful experience. We've got a little bit more extra room here now. And I know there's some people out sick today, but some people get a little bit excited about empty chairs. Their spirits are here, whether we have them here or not. The people that are working in this branch, there's things to be done all week long. And you can see their hands moving the whole week, not just on Sunday morning and not on Wednesday night. There's things being done all week long. When we decided to have a visiting weekend, I was on that committee. And we went out and saw, well, first of all, we didn't know how many priesthood was going to come. We didn't get a real clear commitment on some of them. And that morning, people just started coming. And pretty soon, we filled up two tables here planning to go out. And we started dividing up the names, you know, because at first, a bunch of us had a lot of names to go out and visit. I was overwhelmed. The priesthood stepped forth and come to go out and visit cold, to go knock on doors cold. Some of the members that's not, haven't attended or not attending anywhere, and we want to just touch up with them, tell them we care. And the ones I went on, it was not only a door opening experience, but an experience that I've never seen before, because again, they opened their door. They interrupted what they were doing in their part of it, life, whatever they're doing that Saturday morning. And we sat and visited for an hour or more. And some of them agreed that they was at a different point than what we are right now. They wasn't ready to come back and worship with us. There was any other branches, other churches. But for a moment there, one of them especially said, "We really miss worshiping in the smaller group. We really miss you saints because you have more, well, hand-to-hand contact, more spirit-to-spirit contact than the big churches that they were attending." And as I thought about that, we had a person stand, several people said, "You don't want to get too big when you build this church." And I've been reminded of that many times when we've tried to work as a building committee. But how can we keep this wonderful thing a secret? Not only we're commanded to share it with others, but how can we keep these wonderful experiences we're having in this building or when we meet together? How can we keep that for ourselves? So we must invite people. No matter if we be a bigger group or not, we've got to invite people and bring them in and make them feel welcome and make them feel like we are the small group no matter what number we are. I hope we don't get too big, but that's not one of my concerns. And that's kind of the I'd much rather be in a pen with a 2,200-pound bull snorting at me and trying to get him in a trailer than to be up here sharing it with you, because there's a whole lot more people that can do a better job. But like I said, if the Lord can walk this earth and do what he did, I can take a little bit of uncomfortableness and get in here. When I accepted the call to the priest, I first wasn't going to accept it. And I seeked out some elders and talked to them under confidence before I accepted it. And I was still dragging my feet. I was wanting them to tell me what to do, and I know it was at my decision. And I become consumed with it. It was everything that I talked about, everything I thought about, and everything I prayed about. And it came to me that that opened the door to being baptizing. And there were some names that came forth. And one of those have agreed for me to baptize them. Again, overwhelming experience that only the Lord can do, can move in that way. Jackie read about the angels this morning. A long time ago, I was invited to a home in administration. They didn't tell me that I was supposed to, the sole purpose I was there for is ask for administration of angels there. And I had a whole different prayer. And boy, that little 4-foot woman got me outside and told me what I was supposed to have done. I can't go back. And ever since then, I realized the realness and the importance of Aaronic priesthood asking for ministration of angels. And I have felt presence, like you had talked about, Jackie, and that you just feel like someone's there. And I don't know, you know, you get a sense that you're supposed to do something, that you're supposed to stop and help somebody. And, you know, some people call it the still voice, some people call it the audio voice of the Lord talking to you. I don't know if it's that. I can't divine it. I just know that at times I feel like there's something I have to do. And I don't know if that's angels. I don't know if it's a still voice for the Lord communicating. But I know it's one of those three, and it's fantastic, whatever it happens, because there isn't a better feeling when you stop and somebody needs help that you know or you don't know, and you help them. And when you're in service, there isn't a better service for the Lord. When most of you know, which I've already told you, most of you know, most of the time I drive a truck Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturdays. And it's not really the job I really would have picked out for myself, but it's the way the economical times have flowed me right now. And I farm 450 acres. And I have some cattle, and we do a lot of hay work and that sort of thing. But when Alan was going through all of his deal, losing his ground, I kept feeling that I needed to go by St. Joseph the Workers, who I farmed for. I kept feeling that I needed to go by there and be, you know, talk to the secretary and just, you know, and I didn't. And the fall went on and all the harvest was done, and I was coming home one day, and man, it hit me like a ton of bricks on 24 Highway that I needed to stop. I don't know why that certain day, I needed to stop and talk to the secretary up here on Blue Mills Road. And so I did. When I got in there, we took care of some business, and she goes, oh, there's going to be a financial meeting. We'd like to have you there, and the committee will be there, and you can approach them with anything you want to approach them with. And I said, well, I just want to warn you, there is some weird things going on in the area. There is some people going out and bidding on properties with just putting outlandish bids in. Oh, by the way, we got one out. And I just fell to the floor, because I thought it was all sewed up. I have a signed contract, which contracts just don't mean a whole lot. You know, they just rip them up or say you're done, and you're done. So I started to go forth and look at this contract. She gave me the folder, so that was an opening that I wouldn't want to have again. So I opened it up and looked at the prices and stuff, and they said the meeting's next Tuesday. Well, I went home and started compiling every paper I could possibly find to fight this. And it's devastating what happened to the men down here in the Bottoms. You know, they lost their farms over farming so many years. And having the equipment and have your everything set up that way, it's devastating. So I got a phone call and they said, well, we can't have it Tuesday. We're going to have it 3 weeks from now. Oh, no, we're not. I said, I haven't slept since then. I take cat naps, but I said, let's have it Monday. Oh, you don't need to lose sleep over it. And I said, well, I got to know, you know. And at the whole time I'm praying about this, to find out they got this offer in August and they never called me. And I don't know if it was a time to process or me to get all my ducks in a row or whatever, but I really, truly see the Lord's hand in it, or it never would have happened this way. That Monday, I was still in Cargill's office real early in the morning using their copy machine, making more paper. I had about this much paper for each board member, and I thought there was six. Ended up there was only three when I actually faced the board. I talked to them for an hour and a half, and I think they just wanted to get me out of there, but they said, now what do we do? I asked them, now what do we do? Well, what do you mean, what do we do? I said, am I farming your property? Well, yeah, we're not going to fix this. You've already showed us you made us more money than what they want to offer, and we want to go home. And I thought, well, that paper was worth it because I gave them so much to look at and so much, but I was very lucky that I didn't face what Alan and them faced. I was able to sit down and work it out with them. And Alan, I guess, brought my name to one of the meetings they had. And he said, you remember Richard Adams? I said, yeah, because I've done work for the management company that manages this down here in Over Lake City. And brought my name up, and they said, you remember me? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, well, he was able to sit down face-to-face with their board and work it out. And he said, well, these people don't care anything about people. All they care about is dollars. And we've heard that for years. I heard it as a boy from my father. When I never did come down here in the bottoms when I was younger. We farmed up on the hill, and my father always said that. And it still stays true today. And again, it's another blessing that we're in the place that we're in, that we're able to go forth. And if you didn't get all that out of what I just said, I kept my farm that I'm farming under a sharecrop agreement. And I don't think I'm out of the woods, because there's still more individuals that are going out and trying to interrupt people's livelihoods and steal properties. It kind of goes back to what else I wanted to bring out, is there isn't a better time for us to be the best people that we possibly can be. And that's a lot of strive for me, because I complain. I don't do things like I'd like to do things. There isn't a better time that we can do our each individual jobs, our schoolwork, and everything in these economical times that we're in, and treat one another like human beings. What, like we would before Christmas. Like George said earlier, we don't have to just wait for Christmas to be nice to one another. And people I come in contact, sometimes I might see them once every 6 months, other drivers that I go to different facilities. They might be from Arkansas, they might be from Texas, you know. And this week and this week will be too. They'll both, last week and this week, they'll all meet me with an open hand and wish me Merry Christmas. And say God bless to me. Because they know that I attend church, because we share with one another. And when, for them to come up and ask me to pray for one of their family members, I get a big privilege over that. Because that is... that is means that they respect me enough to ask me. When I was younger, I worked at a grocery store, Richard Chinina Supers. And it's been called several different names after that, because it, after changing the logo on it. But Lou Richards was there, which is Allison's uncle. And I had kind of been in with him because my grandfather went to church with him. And I went up there to seek a job. I was working on a laundromat. And from one first day Lou always liked to be at the cursor booth. I don't know how many of you ever remember him. He liked to be at the cursor booth and hand out little dumbbell suckers. And I've talked to a lot of different people anymore. Oh, that's a guy who used to give me a dumbbell sucker every, you know. And he would stand there and cash checks all day long. And I asked him for a job. Well, I ain't got nothing this week. Come back next week. End of that week, I came back. I come back about twice a week, and finally after the fourth week, he finally said, well, we're just going to give you a job because you're here all the time anyway. And I said, I'll give notice. I'll be here in 2 weeks. So I started a job taking fluorescent lights down and wiping the black silt to make more light in the grocery store. And then started doing other things. And anyway, 17 years later, I worked all parts of the store and meat cutting. Met my wife there, and long story short, I got a lot older and a lot more gray hair. But Lou Richards, for some reason, we hit it off big time, and we spent a lot of time together, and he would preach the gospel to me. When I was 26, he baptized me. I stopped going to church when I was younger, and when my son was old enough, we was both baptized at the same time. So Lou and I was really close over the years. There was sometimes in bad weather, I'd go by and pick him up, bring him there and everything else. And he retired. I called him, you know, kind of got put out to pasture. And he lived at the Groves for a long time after that, after his wife passed away. And here recently, he had a stroke. And it took his voice away. And for a man that all I ever heard was, well, I heard a lot of Richard Adams up front or a whole bunch of other stuff through that microphone, all I ever heard was a spoken word from him. And he sits now and he gets some words out. But it's tough to see that. And for years, he's been the one, this is the part I'm trying to get to here. He's been, I'm done, I'm going home. My life's over. I'm waiting for my trip. And it got so bad that you just want, yeah, we know, we're ready for your trip. And you start heading for the door because it gets so bad. But he's ready to go home to his Heavenly Father. And so one night last week, might have been 2 weeks ago, he won't do therapy. He won't take any drugs because of pray he's going to have another stroke if he don't take medicine, you know. I said, well, why don't you go to therapy and make your day go faster? Actually, my father-in-law told him, why don't you go to therapy and make your day go faster? And no, I'm ready to make my trip. And I said, well, Lou, listen, wait a minute. We are commanded to share. And we are commanded to share with one another. And you could go and take therapy. And this person might need to hear about the Lord. No, I've done that for 7 days a week and everything in store. And I got him all wound up. And pretty soon me and him are going back and forth in his mutter way of speaking because of the stroke. And I can understand part of the stuff. We're going back and forth like old times. And I think he enjoyed it. But he was getting pretty excited too. So I was concerned. I thought, don't have a stroke now, please. But at Melvina Larson's funeral, I talked about how I had the sharing part of that funeral and the family come up. I talked about we are the people we are around. Whether you ask for the Heavenly Father to be present or whatever, we mimic and take after the people we're around. Now there's some emphasis that you hear that, like Jackie's person, her grandfather read in the barracks all by himself, you know. But a lot of us are influenced by other people. I've just totally lost what I was going after. Just a minute. Oh, Gordon Larson Jr. thinks I got away with a lot more with Mom than he did. because I was a neighbor to Gordon and Melvina Larson. And I told him at the funeral dinner afterwards that one of the first times I met Melvina, well, I met Gordon and I knew him pretty good, but I was brush hogging my pastor, and he said, "Ma, I sure would like to get mine brush hogged." And I had borrowed a brush hog, and I said, "Well, you know, I got to get it back to him, but I'll try to get it." Well, I didn't know how strong their faith was and how much, but anyway, I pulled in there on Sunday afternoon. Gordon come out and talked to me for a little bit. Melvina come out of the house with a broom, and she chased me off the property with a broom. And I love Melvina dearly, and we never talked about that ever again. But I told Gordon that, and he goes, "Yeah, I can see her doing that." He goes, "I got a lot of punishments until she told me that I was hurting her when I acted up." And he said, "That straightened me out more than anything." And I said, "Well, that broom straightened me out, because I never did go over there on Sunday." But here's a couple of people that I was born and raised here, and a lot of you have gathered in, and that takes so much faith and so much courage along with the faith. And to leave family members wherever you come from, that little girl I was holding in my arms while I go, my granddaughter, I couldn't. It'd be tough. The Lord really had to work with me to move away from her. But they did that. And I become to see them blessing my life living next door to us. She come over one day. I called. I had a messed up knee and I couldn't reach my knee to put a sock on. Well, it was really freezing. She goes, "Do you want Gordon or do you want me to come over?" And I said, "I don't care. I need somebody to put this sock on so I can get out and catch a ride to go to the hospital." Well, Melvina came over and put that sock on my foot the most dangerous way I've ever seen a sock put on a foot. And that's the kind of way they did everything in their life. And they're very missed in our neighborhood, you know, to not have neighbors like that, because it was somebody you'd call upon and help out in time of need. When, again, I just like to stress on some of the prayers that was lifted up on my behalf on my farming industry, because it's devastating. And I ask you personally if you would continue to pray for Alan and Susan. May the Lord help them adjust and feel comfortable in their life for this losing that much ground and their livelihood, that we might think about them daily and remember them. Thank you. Thank you.
Turner Hymnals to 201. So stand, please.
The opportunity to come and worship Jesus Christ. We thank you very much for the spoken word from Richard and the spirit that was felt here today. Thank you for all of the guests that we have here today. And watch over us as we leave and go back to our homes. Keep us safe and in your arms. Thank you for the Son that you sent 2,000 years ago to save the world. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.